Okay, and welcome back to episode 9? Yes, episode 9 of Fade In Podcast. We're getting those episodes out, damn, okay. Like, we're almost done season 1, that is fantastic. On today's episode, we will be focusing on characters, more specifically how they interact with one another, different personality types, and just having your characters be able to work really well together and clash really well together, and how that just benefits your story in general. Christine, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing really well. Today I'm not drinking, I hope I don't say dinosaur if somebody says dice. So not today. Yes, characters. And there was a really good intro. I really like that.
Thanks, I winged it.
Characters are like the best thing in any story. And, you know, maybe we start to talk about comedy. How you need different characters to make a story comedic. Often, you know, what you can see in my examples would be, you know, the Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men and Two Poor Girls and all of that. So, and in our book, Swords of Syrah, it's the same thing between Demina and Orisio. Because they are very different. Demina is...
bitch. Endearingly. Lovingly. I say it lovingly. But she is a hard ass.
And Orisio is the opposite.
100%. I think they have very similar goals and desires, which is why they work together, but when it comes to personality, it does not line up, which is what makes them clash together. And that's one of my favorite tropes, and I don't know if I've mentioned it in past episodes or not, that, you know, the character that just can't be bothered, but in a way as in, well, I guess there's two ways to say can't be bothered. There's, because they, you know, there's the can't be bothered as in they don't take anything seriously, but then there's the can't be bothered, which I'm speaking about, which is like Demina and, you know, in some of my whatever creations, whatever the hell. And it's that character that just, they're serious. They want to get the job done. They just, they have a goal in mind. And they're like, no one's going to stand in my way. Like, I know what I'm doing. And then there's the one that comes along and is like, we are going to have to work together, but I am going to cause you grief every step of the way, even though I'm not even the antagonist. And I really love that trope of the serious one and the dumbass. And I think that's kind of what we got going on right now with Orisio and Demina is, you know, Demina, she's a lot more focused on attaining her goals, whereas Orisio, it's like, if I get around to it, I get around to it, but, like, I'd much rather not. And I think that is what makes their dynamic and their journey together so fun to read, in my opinion, fun to write, is that they are constantly at each other's throats at disagreement because their personality types are so incredibly different. But they both want to reach the same destination sort of thing.
That was really good explained. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I kind of went off there.
No, that was really good. I just thought, you know, most of the time they don't want to kill each other, but, you know, they kind of, you know, are pissed off because of the other person. But then there are these really, really cute moments. We haven't had so many of them yet, but, you know, one I can't talk about yet in the fourth book, which is coming out on my birthday, so July 7.
Happy birthday!
Everybody, you guys, ooh, thank you. You can get it on Amazon. We released Reunions, The Cave of Maestra, and Mind Games. They are mini books, about 50 pages for people as like us. who, you know, don't have so much time to read, or, you know, who just enjoy like a short kind of story, but in an epic style, kind of.
Yeah, you want to read some, so, but yeah. You just don't have the attention span to do it. Think of it as like a comic book, but with less pictures. No pictures.
Exactly. Yeah, no pictures at all.
Besides, I mean, I can start adding pictures. I'll start drawing up some pictures. You know, they're not going to be good pictures, but if that's what they want, I can add them.
We have to share your... Oh, yeah, we already shared one of your, you know...
that was the cover species for reunions.
Yeah, oh, that was really funny.
The wolf squirrel is probably the worst. I don't know where I was trying to go
God.
Speaking of Fabrizio and Demona, I gotta tell you this before I forget. And I'm just going to put this album out there because it's a hell of a good album. But you know how I've made that playlist, right? For like Arizio and Demona, and just in general, just Syra in general. Well, I'm working on a new one. It's like, this one's just called Syra. Find it on Spotify. It's called Syra. But I want you to listen to this album by Fall Out Boy, and it's called Mania. And it is just, it's a great album all the way through. It's been out for like a couple years now, but just... It just, you know, when there's like those songs where you can just imagine characters in it, this entire album is kind of like, it just, it gives me very strong Demona and Arizio vibes and how they're working together and just all this other shit. So I want you to go ahead and listen to that one. Also, Alone Together is probably like, I can see that as almost their fucking anthem. It's on a different album. It's on Save Rock and Roll, I'm pretty sure. But it's by the same artist, and I want you to take a listen to that one too, because it's basically like, you know, they're stuck together, but they're on like this thing that they have to complete, but they're both troubled and they both need each other, so it's like, will you kind of help me? And I think that those songs are great. I was thinking about this on the bus, and I need you to listen to them. And anybody else, do you know what? I know Mania had some negativity when it came out. People are like, oh my god, this fucking album sucks. It doesn't suck. You know what? Like, fight me on that shit. So, give it a listen, sweetie, okay?
That's cool. I think music is a really interesting topic, because I am really weird. Because sometimes I need music to work. Sometimes it must be total silence. So it really, and it doesn't depend on, you know, it just depends on the day. Like, I never know it before. Like, sometimes, you know, silence and sometimes music, and I think that's really weird. I don't know, how is it for you?
I make like depending on the project that I'm working on, I have different playlists that, you know, and tying this back into character, they're all songs that relate to these characters, like the lyrics remind me of them, and so as you're listening to it, it like kind of like helps you get into the character and stuff. And so, like, you know, for my sitcom-y one, like I had for my feature where they're both kind of trashy, I use like, you know, songs that are trashy. And then for obviously like Soul Society, we have the one that I made. But at the same time, like, yeah, like I find that sometimes if I'm really trying to focus, that music distracts me, and so then I have to turn it off. But like, you know, most of the time I like to have it going, just kind of at like, you know, it just helps you get into the world, I find, if you just have your headphones on and you have the music playing, because then you're like, it just keeps you focused because it's making you think about the characters and shit. But that's how it goes for me.
Yeah, for me it really depends. Sometimes I also started to watch Netflix like a little bit, like, you know, if I split the screen in two halves, you know, one half Netflix and the other half, you know, the screenwriting program software. I've never done that before. Sometimes it works, sometimes not.
I feel like but... I get distracted.
Okay, back to characters. What were we talking about?
We were talking about how characters clash and how they work well together, like different personality types, I suppose. Like, I guess if we want to look at it. Except, like, there's so many more than this, but, like, there's the whole, shit, I forget what it's called, but it's used in D&D and stuff, but it's the one where it's, like, it's chaotic, there's neutral, and then there's, the fucking other word that I can't remember, but, like, you know, you can be chaotic evil, or you can be, like, whatever. Lawful, that's the other one. But, you know, like, that one comes into play, but I feel like it's so much more than that when it comes to personality, because it's like every little thing about them is clashing. It's not just whether or not they are chaotic evil or lawful evil. Like, yeah, that's when it comes to decision making and such, that's going to make them clash. But when it comes to just conversation and stuff, I feel like there's a lot more to it. And so that's when, like, I feel like you can't even, like, yeah, there's all the personality tests and everything like that, but when it comes, like, I feel like your personality can't just be covered by one word or one test or something. Like, they're just so much more complex than that, especially if you're trying to write, like, a really round character. Is they can't just be known as, like, you know, that's the evil one. Like, no, like, they have to have so much more to them, or else that they're just going to be really flat and they're going to be boring. And so, you know, like, every different character has different redeeming qualities. Every character has different things that they laugh at, that they get mad at, that they're sensitive about. And that can't be covered in a test because everybody's different. Like, that would be endless questions to try and figure it out. And nobody's personality is completely the same. And so I feel like the more human, that's not even, I guess in this regard, we're going to use the word human, is the more human that you make your characters, the better, which means the more human characteristics and personality traits that you give them. Because, like, you got to fully dive into this character and figure out every little thing about them, because it's going to make them so much easier to write, and it's going to really help you figure out, like, how this character is going to get along with other characters. And so, like, there's different apps that you can use for it. I forget the name of this one, but it's, like, a super good one. I think it's, like, Story Planner or something. And it lets you think of every little thing. It'll be, like, such random questions that you wouldn't even think about asking. It'd be, like, what's your character's, like, favorite food when they're sad? Just things, like, and you're, like, this feels pointless, but it just helps you really see them as more than just a character that you're writing. You're becoming them. You're figuring out every, it's like you know them. And I think it just makes it a lot better to make just the most round character that you possibly can.
I think all of these little questions also really helps to add some details, you know, in your story. Like, for example, the food, you know, it can be like a scene in the script, you know, it gives the inspiration to a scene in the script, you know, and she's or he's or they are sad, and then they eat that kind of food. And all of that little, my favorite question about characters of all time is, what is their happiest and most sad moments of their lives? And I never thought about it, you know, but I really love that question. Like, what is, like, where, what was the best moment, like the best day, you know, and why, you know, what persons were they with, what have they done, and, you know, and what is the worst thing that have happened in their lives, and because that you just have to see, you know, just observe people, observe yourself, your family, because most, or at least I have a really weird character, because everything in my personalities are like the opposites of each other. Just one little example is, you know, I never want things to change. Like, never ever. I want that life stays the exact same as it is, for example, right now. On the other side, I always want to move. And then I think, you know what? I'm just going to move to another continent, to Canada for a year.
I don't like change.
Right? Like, and I don't know why. That's just, and that's films you can't explain. Needs and goals maybe crash, you know, because maybe my need is to stay here because it's safe. But, you know, I won't reach any of my goals if I do it. So that kind of clashes and all of that. So, you know, just look at yourself, kind of, and then...
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, then you see.
When I write, I'm like, don't be you. But then I realize that a lot of these characters, they're like escape characters. You're like, this is what I wish I could be. Or like something like that. And speaking about the whole thing that you just brought up, where you were like, you know, you don't want things to change, but then you'll suddenly pick up and move to a different fucking continent. Is that would not, that seems like people would call that, like, if you were in a book, they'd be like, that's out of character. And
yeah,
getting on
yeah.
the topic of out of character, I think, is it seen as a bad thing a lot of the time. They'll be like, oh, the character's not acting like they usually do. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes, you know, it really depends. You have to know everything about your character before you can properly have them out of character, you know, because if you don't understand your character, then yeah, they're going to be out of character all the time. And you're going to be like, if your character, I'm going to be saying the word out of character a lot in this, or we could say OOC, if they are that literally all the time, like you cannot even put a finger on this character's personality, then obviously your character needs work. You need to figure them out. But if, let's say, the character is usually, they're always acting the same, like, you know, you're like, oh, I can assume your next move, and they do the opposite, it's kind of like, well, why did they do that? And you also have to have a big reason behind that, I think. And so, in your case, you didn't just move to Canada because you woke up one morning and you were like, I'm gonna go to Canada, even though I have, like, you went for a reason, and whether that was, and I'm sure there was some type of psychological reason as well, if you really dove deep into it. And so I think when you're writing is to have your character do something of that because something triggers them to be out of character. And so, like, you know, it awakens something in them. Perhaps they're in a location that is upsetting to them or just something where they've built these walls, they've figured themselves out, but whatever it is in this situation has forced them to make a decision or convinced them to make a decision that is out of character. And then that makes sense because you're like, well, there was reasoning behind that. And so I do think that out of character isn't always a bad thing, so long as you know your character. You feel me?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, tell me sometimes if I'm not making sense, because sometimes I just start ranting. And if, you know, I worry that I'm just, you know, people are going to be like, I have no idea what your point was there.
No, that was actually really, really smart. You just need somehow to explain it. You know, if there is, like, in the scene or the scene before that, you know, something triggers the character, like you said, or maybe later on you get to know it, maybe while they talk to somebody else or in some other way. You know, as long as there is...
There's some text. Like, there's something there where, like, a character can pick up on it, and... Sorry, did I cut you off? If I did, tell me to shut the fuck up.
No, I'm kidding. Continue.
I was just gonna say that, like, that it made me think, like, something, and you love to see it, and I brought this up in earlier episodes, is, I think I brought it up in the villains episode, is when the antagonist changes at the end. That's out of character, but they did it for a reason. And so, like, let's say, this person that you've been fighting forever, and, like, it would be like, I don't know, like, let's say, Aurizio is in peril, there's something happening to him, and Atramos is the one to save him, you'd be like, that was really out of character, but let's say this has been a long time, like, it's been building up to this moment, and I love that at the end of things, where, like, you know, this, the protagonist is in a situation where they're, like, let's do an example, like, let's say, like, this is cliche, but, like, let's say they're doing the old Lion King, except it's not going to end the way that the Lion King did, where they're, like, hanging off of that, like, they're hanging off the cliff, they're about to fall, something's happening, but someone reaches out and pulls them up, and it's, like, this person, they've been fighting forever, and there's just, you're, like, why did they save them, but there's a reason that they did, and, like, that's what I mean by, like, that was out of character, but it made sense, because you have made it make sense. You've built up to that. You've had subtext. You've seen interactions where you're like, this character is slowly changing. There's something in them that's going to change, and you're going to see that soon, and that's when you see it, is you're like, they would have, like, kicked them right off. They'd be like, ah, go, like, you're out of here. But they save them for a reason, and that is just, you know, yeah, I don't know how to end that.
It's the same, I mean, that's called a character arc, you know, so, exactly. Yeah, and that's the same for, you know, sorts of, yeah, right? It's the same with sorts of Sarah. I mean, we can't say anything now because that's, you know, that's in the 10th night book, but the characters will have a huge development and character arc, what they do, you know, in the last scene, you know, I think you know what I mean. I mean, Demina is still kind of a bitch, but come on, everybody changes, especially Orisio, and we know that. That's the same, you know, you would never expect him, if there would be the first episode, he would be like, no, no. And then in the last episode, he reacts really different to the last scene, you know, what he does. And talking about Demina and Orisio, you know, yeah, I was talking about, you know, even when characters are really different and don't always get along, then you can have these really, really nice moments when they help each other, or when you see that they're relationship develops, like in the book we are doing right now, you know, when they are in this, you know, when they are fighting and they are saying really mean things to each other, and you know, but then their relationship changes because the scene ends a little bit different than, you know, it would have been, you know, in book two, for example, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we will bring up the thing with, you know, the darkness in Orisio and the darkness in Demina, and that Orisio can help her to, you know, deal with that a little bit more. I think it's always really important to have, like, different characters because it's just so much funnier and you get, like, conflict into it. It's really easy to make it, like, to add more action because, like you said, one character can be a little bit more, you know, stupid maybe, and or maybe one of them is really aggressive and starts a fight all the time and all of that, you know, so like different characters really help you in your story.
Have you ever seen the movie Superbad?
I have seen the end of it, like the last 20 minutes, yes.
Okay, that's just came up as an example of, like, that was just when you brought up, like, action comedy, because I guess it's not really an action comedy. Like, it is, but it's more of a comedy. But, like, that just, I instantly thought of it, because the three main dudes are just all completely different from each other, but they're all, like, buddies, so it's, at least for the most part. But, yeah, like, that's just kind of a good example of these characters that clash together, but it makes it funny because they're just always disagreeing or things are going wrong because one character wants to do something completely different than the other character.
Have you seen Jumanji?
I saw the old one.
You have to watch the new ones. They are so funny. And it's the same. Yes. So, you know, if he's in it, you know, it's funny. That's the same, you know. I don't even know how to explain that, but...
Oh, that's a movie that I gotta watch now that we brought up Kevin Hart. Have you ever seen, this is, like, a really good example. They have, like, a ton of characters, but, I think it's called The Wedding Ringer, where, like, the guy voices Olaf from Frozen.
Yes.
Like, isn't Josh something. Yeah, and he, like, needs, like, fake groomsmen, and there's the guy hires them all, and they're all just really messed up. And that movie is hilarious. And I completely forgot that movie existed until just now, and I really want to watch it again. But, like, that is a great example because, like, all those characters should not be interacting with each other, but they've all been brought together by, like, the Kevin Hart character. And I think that, like, those types of movies are fucking hilarious.
It's always so cute how you see, you know, that characters are not really getting along in the beginning. We got the same right now. I mean, we can do a little spoiler.
Yeah, you know, we're good. Easter egg.
Easter egg, yeah. You know that we got some new characters for the fourth book. And I guess we can say that they are not getting along with Demina and Orisio, characters who don't get along in the beginning. And then you see for each episode, you know, or like, you know, a scene that things happen which bring them closer together. And you would never expect them at the end, maybe, you know, to be a team. And maybe to be, you know, like, you know, in the second season of Souls of Syrah, you know, I'm not gonna spoiler that, but you know, this, you know, if you compare in the future, you know, the fourth book of the first, you know, it's not a season, how do you call it, the first volume of Souls of Syrah, and then the fourth book of the second volume, there are just so huge, you know, differences in the characters, and I love this journey, you know, from A to B. That's what I wanted to say.
Oh god, there's like, just because we've like literally planned out like four volumes of this, like I hate, because like we're like, think how long it's gonna be before we're at like the end of volume two, bro. That's like a year and a half from now. Like, that's god damn, like that's a little far away. And it makes me sad because you want to get to it because you have it planned out. You're like, yeah, I want to write that. But you got to write all the other stuff first. And like, you know, like I'm looking forward a lot to book five. Not going to give away what it is, but like, you know, I've been waiting for book five. I've been waiting since December and we're still only on book four. Like, I still got some time to wait. And so it's like, I want to write that like episode or fuck that book. But I don't, I always gotta be patient, and I'm not good at that.
But that's the thing, you know, when you have, you know, a pilot episode, and I want really to write a scene that's about, like, the midpoint, you know, but I'm still on page 10. You know, then you could write the midpoint if you really know what it's about. But, you know, you can't just jump over 10 books, you know? Like, yeah. That's not possible. Like, you have to wait.
No, because you don't know if you're suddenly going to change something or what. And so, yeah, like it. You know, like I've heard, like, you know, some people be like, oh, you got to write the beginning and the end. But at the same time, we don't know when this thing's going to end. We have a bit of an idea, but, like, it could change easily. So, yeah, it's just more waiting and seeing.
I just have to mention this because I got so many people asking me, you know, they don't understand that this is not one book. This is a book series. And even though we always mention it in our posts and everything, so it's not, you know, like, it's not one epic fantasy book, you know, saga on 50 pages, you know, like, no, there will be a lot of books, and that's why they are short ones.
You know, we can either go the professional route and say, oh, like, think of it like a comic book, or we can go the more depressing route, which was, this was originally supposed to be an animation, but so think of it as in, I describe it as episodes. But, like, we're transcending over the things right now, because obviously when you think book, you don't think episode, but you're going to in this instance. And so, yeah, they're episodes, and they're mini books that they're individual episodes, but they're not complete. They're serialized, I suppose. So, yeah, like, but since it's not a concept that's done a whole lot, especially in... just write, like, obviously comic books, yeah, but when it comes to general, like, novellas and stuff and novels and all that other things, it's not usually done, and it's just becoming kind of a thing, especially with how easy it is to publish on the internet. And so I can understand why a lot of people get kind of confused at the concept, but I enjoy this concept because it makes it a lot easier. Like, yeah, it sucks that you have to wait for, like, the new book, but I think where that comes from me being used to doing this at the same time, is from my impressive background of fan fiction writing, whereas, You know, like you would upload a chapter and then you'd upload a new chapter like a month and a half later kind of thing. And people would be like, oh, where's the new chapter? And that's kind of how this is too. So you can look at it as like, even though each mini book does have its own chapters in it, you can see it as in almost they are the volume in itself. Each book is a different chapter in this volume.
What's going on with me today? I just wanted to say something about that.
Drinking again?
Yes, no. Maybe that's the problem. I should be drinking. You know, that's the problem. Yeah, but you're totally right. Yeah, of course, we thought about it as an animation, a series. So, you know, Netflix, if you're listening right now, because why wouldn't you not listen to this podcast? We have a really cool idea. You can buy the books, you know, Kindle and paperback. You have to buy them, you know, on Amazon, and then just call us, you know? Message us on Instagram.
I guess we can wrap things up now. I don't think I have to do a classroom outro, be like, what did we go over today? But like, I think hopefully people paid attention, people understood. If you didn't, that's on us. We'll try to be a little more entertaining next time. And we'll see y'all for episode 10 with an undecided topic and an undecided, I'm not going to spoil it. Perhaps undecided guest. Anyways, see you next time. Make sure to give us a follow on Instagram. Stay up to date with stuff at Fade In Podcast. I think there's a period between everything. Souls of Syrah. Self-explanatory. Look that up on Instagram. I don't think there's much competition for that username. And same with Christvana Creations. And buy the books on Amazon because I gotta pay my rent and I gotta do stuff. So I would really appreciate it.